أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. إن شاء الله سبحانه وتعالى we're going to continue from the first point that we left off concerning the nawaqid of al-Islam, or those things that if a person does it will render his actions, his al-Islam, null and void. And last week we took the very first article that the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala spoke about, and the very first article, and that is al-shirk bi'ibadatillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we talked about concerning the shirk, that the definition of the shirk is to make the tasfiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with something else, to make another partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that the anwa' of the shirk al-akbar, the major shirk, are many. And there are different types of major aspects of shirk that people can fall into. And we mentioned four of them because we said that the midar of the shirk centers around these things, that the majority of the shirk revolves around these four points. And we talked about the shirk in the qasd and the niyyah. And we talked about the shirk in the ta'ah, or the obedience. And the shirk in the muhabba. And what was the first one that we mentioned, Abdul Kareem? The shirk of the da'wah, or the du'a. And we explained all of those. The shirk of du'a, the shirk in the qasd and the niyyah and the irada, and the shirk in the ta'ah, or obeying other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last, we talked about the shirk in al-muhabba. And we explained how the ulama of al-Islam, like Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that we had to make the distinction and know the differences of the muhabba, or to love. And he said that there were four types that we had to know. The first one was the muhabba of Allah, to love Allah. And the second thing that we mentioned was to love what Allah loves. And that's the highest form of loving, as the hadith of the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third one was loving for the sake of Allah, because of Allah. And the fourth and final one was loving with Allah. And that fourth type of love, loving with Allah, is the shirk that the mushrikun fall into. To love Allah and to love someone else or something else the way you should love Allah. So that's a brief summary of some of the important things that we went over last week. And today, inshallah, we want to continue and we want to finish off the first point, and that is a shirk and the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that the shirk was of three different types, three categories. The first one was shirk akbar, the major sin. That if the servant commits it and he falls into it, he goes outside of Islam. An example of the major shirk is to pray to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to slaughter for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obey other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of those examples that we gave last week. And the second category of shirk is shirk asghar, the minor shirk. And the third one is shirk khafi. So we're going to deal inshaAllah ta'ala and complete shirk asghar, the minor shirk, and the shirk khafi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam told us in an authentic hadith that's been collected by the Imam of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith, Abu Abdullah Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. The hadith of Mahmud ibn Labid radiyallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, أخوف ما أخاف عليكم الشرك الأصغر فسئل عنه فقال صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم الرياء. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to his community, his companions رضي الله عنهم, and to us, the thing that I fear the most for you people, the thing that frightens me and causes me to be concerned and to fear the most for you people is the shirk al-asghar, the small shirk. So they asked him, what is the shirk al-asghar? What is it? Explain. What are you talking about? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the shirk al-asghar was al-riya, or to show off, to do things in front of the people so that you can be seen and you can be praised, so that you can be talked about. That is the shirk al-asghar. So as I mentioned before, ikhwani, that the scholars of the past, many of them used to say that the anwa, or the aqsam of a shirk, the divisions of shirk, were only two. They said that it is a shirk al-akbar and a shirk al-asghar. And there are others who say no, it's three. A shirk al-akbar and a shirk al-asghar and a shirk al-khafi. The reason why the scholars said that there are only two divisions of shirk is because of the hadith that we just read. And that's why we're going to say inshallah that there are two divisions of shirk, but it's not a big issue. Two or three, it's not a big issue. As you can see in the hadith of Mahmud ibn Labid radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined the shirk al-asghar as being al-riya. So they say we shouldn't make the shirk al-khafi a qism or a division all by itself. So we have other ahadith where the word al-khafi is going to be mentioned in describing shirk. So it's not a big problem, as the ulama of al-Islam used to say in usul al-fiqh, لا مساحة في المصطلحات. There's no big problem in the terminology that you use. Wajib or farb. This salah is farb, and someone else says it's wajib. Not befitting to have a big argument and a big discussion and make a big issue out of which of the two technical terms you're going to use. Another very important point, ikhwan, and just this is that many of the ulama of al-Islam, they feel that if a person falls into the shirk al-asghar, that he won't be forgiven, that he's going to be punished. Understand that point, because we told you that the shirk al-akbar was the shirk that if the person did it, he goes outside of the realm of al-Islam. But the shirk al-asghar, if he does it, he doesn't go outside of the realm of al-Islam, and that's the qawlu sahih insha'Allah. But there are some bona fide, respected, honorable ahlul ilm wal ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala who say that if you commit the shirk al-asghar, you won't be forgiven. Why? Because of the ayat in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Verily Allah will not forgive that you commit shirk with him, that he will forgive anything other than that. So if you can bear with me and contemplate in this ayat, Akhi Dhulqarnain, Luqman, verily Allah will not forgive that he makes shirk with him, but he makes, he'll forgive anything else. This ayah did not distinguish between shirk al-akbar or a shirk al-asghar or a shirk al-khafi. It said that Allah won't forgive that you make shirk with him. So if you make the small type of shirk like riya, they say you're not going to be forgiven. Because of the text of the ayah, unless you make what? A tawbah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, ikhwan, the qawl sahih is that the major shirk, if a person dies upon it, he won't be forgiven. And the minor shirk, the person is under the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala chooses to forgive him and to enter him into paradise, he'll do that, even though he committed the minor shirk. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to deal with him and to reckon with him, he'll punish him and put him in the hellfire, and eventually he'll go into the paradise if he died on the Tawheed. And there are many proofs of that that cause us to understand this point. For an example, to leave the prayer is a form of kufr and a form of shirk, as the Prophet told us in an authentic hadith on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. And this hadith has been collected by Imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said, إِنَّ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْكُفَرِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. Verily that which is between a man and shirk and disbelief is for that man to leave the prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described in this hadith that's in Sahih Muslim, that the person who leaves the prayer intentionally, this is a form of shirk and kufr. And yet we have other texts that show us if a man leaves off the prayer and he doesn't do the prayer correctly, he's going to be under the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In sha'a afa anhu wa adkhalahu al-jannah wa in sha'a azabahu wa hasabahu ala fi'lihi hadha, nasallallahu al-afi wa salama. The Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, خمس صلوات كتبهن الله على العباد فمن جاء بهن ولم يبيع منهن شيئا استخفافا بحقهن كان له عند الله عهد أن يدخله الله الجنة ومن لم يأت بهن فليس له عند الله عهد إن شاء عذبه وإن شاء أدخله الجنة. This hadith has been collected by Imam Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi rahimahumullah ta'ala. He said, there are five prayers that Allah has made obligatory upon the servant. So whoever comes Yawmul Qiyamah and he didn't lose those prayers, he took care of them, and he didn't lose anything concerning them, he did them properly at their time, five times a day, the raka'at the way they're supposed to be and so forth and so on, then that person will have a ahd or a contract, an agreement with Allah that he will put him in paradise. And if someone comes Yawmul Qiyamah and he didn't take care of the prayer, then he won't have a contact with Allah. If Allah chooses, he will punish him. And if Allah chooses, he will put him in the paradise. So the point that we're trying to make here is to leave off the prayer istighfatan bihaqihinna. To leave off the prayer tahawalan bihinna. To leave off the prayer tasahulan bihinna. To leave off the prayer because of you being lackadaisical, by letting the prayer come in and go out, by not praying Fajr, and you have the ability to get up. We understand what? That Yawmul Qiyamah, when you come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, you don't go outside of al-Islam. Even though the prayer or the hadith of the Prophet says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ahd al-ladhi baynana wa baynahum al-salah, faman tarakah faqad kafara. The difference between us and them, the contract between us and them, the kufar, is the prayer. So whoever leaves it, he has gone outside of al-Islam. That's talking about the one who leaves it by saying it's not obligatory. He makes it istihlal. He says it's halal to leave him. So anyway, the point is, the first hadith that we just mentioned about whoever doesn't properly, he will come, Yawmul Qiyamah, and he will have a contract with Allah. that Allah will enter into man's paradise. And whoever comes with them incomplete, then he is under the mashi'ah of Allah. If he chooses, Allah will punish him. If he chooses, Allah will forgive him and put him in paradise. So the point that we're making is what, Akhi Abu Zahira? The point is, leaving salah is from the affairs of the shirk, as it was described in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, and yet the one who commits it is going to be under the mashi'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can forgive him, or he may punish him. That's with Allah. As for some of the anwa of a shirk al-asghar, some of the types of the small shirk, the minor shirk, leaving off the prayer because of laziness. Another, and that's indicative of the ahadith that we just mentioned. Also, one of the types of small or minor shirk is to swear by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, من حلف بغير الله فقد كفر أو أشرك. Whoever swears by other than Allah, he has disbelieved, or he has made shirk, polytheism. He has associated a partner with Allah. So if a person says, I swear on my mother's grave, that's what we used to say when we were young. Swear on your mother's grave. I swear on my mother's grave. This is shirk. To swear by your father is shirk. To swear by anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk. The Arabs of the past, they used to swear by their fathers and on their fathers. They used to swear by the time and on the time. They used to swear by many different things. So the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كان حالفا فليحلف بالله. Whoever is going to swear, then let him swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to swear by other than Allah, to take an oath and say, I swear by my mother something, anything other than Allah is shirk. Now if the person swears by something else, ta'zeem al-lahu, he swears by something else, thinking that thing to be magnificent and exalted, then this is shirk al-akbar, a major shirk. Now you know when we were young, we used to say, I swear by my mother's grave. Your mother may have been living, so you really didn't mean your mother's grave as a big thing worthy of worship, worthy of being afraid of. But if a person thinks that the shaykh in the grave can harm him and benefit him, if he swears and lies, then this is shirk al-akbar. This is making ibadah with other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba, by the one whose hands my soul is in, I met a brother from America. Who some of you brothers went to meet there in Miami, who is going overboard in his love for Uthman bin Fodio. He's a Sufi, so we have to be aware of him. I swear by Allah, the Lord of the Kaaba, he was telling me about the virtues of his sheikh, who is one of the relatives of one of my family members. The sheikh is the great-great-great uncle of my wife. And he steals the people's money, and he devours the people's money by doing sorcery and magic. Anyway, this brother from America, I met him in Sudan, he went and gave that man the bayah, and when he was trying to convince me why I need to go visit this man and be on his dawah, the light went off in Sudan, which it does many times in those countries like that. The electricity just stopped. While he was talking about the sheikh, he became afraid and said, this happened because we were talking about the sheikh. So if he was to swear by the sheikh, he's afraid. He'll tell the truth. But if he was to swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the characteristics of Allah, the izzah of Allah or something, he'll swear and he'll lie. So if a person is swearing, ta'zeeman to that created thing, then that is shirk and kufr. Ikhwan, you have to understand this point, and that is, even though we're saying that these things are from the more shirk, it's still from the major crimes and the major sins. From the mubiqat that will destroy a man. As the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اجتنبوا السبع المبيقات. الشرك بالله. Stay away from the seven things that will destroy you. And the first thing he said, making shirk with Allah. And he didn't distinguish between Al-Akbar أو الأصغر أو الخفي. Another type of shirk, الأصغر is الرياء, to show off, to do things. الرياء, to do actions so that you can be seen. That's another نوع from the أنواع of الشرك الأصغر, to show off. الرياء. Luqman, you heard that word before? الرياء, to show off, and it's dangerous. الرياء, إخوان, it has two قسم. There are two divisions of الرياء. الرياء لها قسمان. The first division of الرياء is الرجل الذي يقوم حتى يتعبد الله سبحانه وتعالى فما قام إلا للرياء. The man who stands up in order to do some act of worship and all he wants to do is show off. Whatever act of worship that he wants to do, he's doing it for the sole purpose and intention of showing off. Before embarking upon doing this particular action, the brother or the sister, they're only doing this form of ibadah to show off. They don't want to please Allah. They only have their niyat, their qasd, their irada is to show off in front of the people. Like Allah Ta'ala described the people from the munafiqeen in Surah An-Nisa, when he described their prayer, he said, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And if they stand up to pray, those munafiqeen, they stand up in a lazy fashion and in a lazy state. All they want to do is show off in front of the people, and they don't remember Allah except a little bit. So when they say, but the ayah said, they remember Allah a little bit. And you're saying here that this is an example of a person who's standing up only to show off and not for Allah. We say that the only dhikr of Allah that they're making is their statement, Allahu Akbar. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. Reading the Qur'an, that's the dhikr. But in terms of their niyah, their qasd and their irada, la, they don't remember Allah. They're only standing up to show off in front of the people. The Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in an authentic hadith and the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that's in Sahih Muslim, that Allah Ta'ala said in this hadith al-Qudsi, that Allah Ta'ala said, أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك من عمل عملا أشرك معي فيه غيري تركته وشركه. Allah Ta'ala told us in this hadith, I am so self-sufficient to have any partner. I'm self-sufficient. I'm a Samad. I am a Ghani. I am al-Hamid. I am al-Wahid. I am so self-efficient that I am not in need of any partner. So if anyone does any action in which he makes it for someone other than me, along with me, I will leave that person and his shirk. So the person who stands up or he does some act of ibadah, the first type of riyah is he's only doing that to be seen. He's only doing that for the people. The second type of riyah, the second division, the second qism, is the person who is standing up for the ibadah and he's standing up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His niyah, his qasd, his irada is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But while he's in the process of doing that thing, something happens in which the riyah is introduced into the equation. But we have to define and explain. It's like the person who stands up and he's praying and he finished 3 rak'ahs, and then people come in and he feels that they came in, so he starts to prolong the 4th rak'ah and the 4th sajda and the recitation. At the beginning when he stood up, he started to pray only for Allah. But when he noticed someone was checking him out, now a riyah entered into the equation, so he starts to worship for the people. The person who makes jihad. He makes jihad in order to kill the kuffar. But then he hears that the kuffar brought all their women out. That's going to be the booty. I mean the booty, the spoils of war, booty. The loot. The falut, the nukud. He feels, okay, now my niya is also part of that now. To get the money. To get the spoils of war. But when he initially went out, it was fi sabilillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives dawah for Allah's cause. He makes the tape. He sells books. He starts selling books and tapes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he sees that it's a lucrative business. So his niyyah starts to become connected to making the tape. But initially, it was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to make hajj. His niyyah for years is to go into make hajj. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affords him the opportunity and presents him all of the circumstances to make hajj, he is going to make hajj. But on the way in his mind is, I gotta buy this many souls. My niyyah is to make hajj, and I have to get this thing and that thing, and you're connecting that with your hajj. But in your heart really is to make the hajj, but you become distracted with other affairs. This second division, it has two divisions that we have to mention. Now the second division is what? The second division of a riyah, and that is that the person is doing the thing for Allah. But suddenly, something comes in on him. A qari yukra alayhi. Some side issue enters into the mix. This has two things. Okay, the first one is, if the person repels this notion, or he keeps it within the boundaries that have been ordained by Allah, there's nothing wrong with you, Ya Abdullah, selling tapes and books, making money for your efforts and giving talks. There's nothing wrong with you selling folds and the Islamic books. There's nothing wrong with that. Allah Ta'ala made all that halal. There's nothing wrong. You can't buy folds here in America, so you're going to go get them when you go over there. Nothing is wrong with that. So as long as the person strives and struggles and he tries to repel these notions and he doesn't let them get out of hand, inshallah, this will not harm him. This will not harm him. And he will come under the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayah that you all memorize, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنَ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. And as for the one who is afraid of standing before his Lord, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنَ الْهَوَىٰ. And the one who is afraid of standing before his Lord, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, and he prevented and prohibited the nafs from the hawa. He made jihad against his nafs from the hawa. For verily the paradise will be his resting place. The paradise will be his resting place. Why? Because he made mujahada against his nafs. And he prevented it from the hawa. And what is the hawa here? To get up and pray. And then people come. While you're standing there, you have to make jihad against your nafs. And you have to say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this only for Allah. And you make the jihad within yourself. If you can do that, inshallah, you won't fall under the people. This type of riyah won't harm you. The second one is the person who this issue overtakes him. He doesn't make the jihad against him. بَلْ يَسْتَرْسِرُ بِهِ. He starts out making the ibadah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then something is introduced into the equation. And he just goes with the flow. He completes the last three rak'at for the people. Many of the scholars say the one who does that riyah destroys your action. Even though the beginning action was for Allah and the end action was for other than Allah. Because you committed a shirk al-akbar, it destroys it. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-hadith al-Qursi, أَلَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءَ الشِّرْكَ, I am so self-sufficient, I don't need any partners. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا, whoever does any action and he makes some other partner with me in it, I will leave him and his shirk. So the hadith says that his shirk will be lost. And that's a strong opinion. But then we have other ulama who say, that thing that he did with ikhlas, he'll get rewarded. He'll be responsible for his riyah, but he'll get rewarded for his ikhlas. Why? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, you'll get your actions according to your reward. So that which was done with ikhlas, he'll get his reward, and that which he'll get the thawab, and he'll also get the wazr or the sin of his shirk. So along these lines, ikhwan, I want to take this time out to encourage all of us, myself included, of the danger of a shirk al-asghar that the Prophet was asked about sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is al-riyah. We have to be careful of it because of the seriousness of the issue. Al-shirk al-riyah, the majority of the people are not free of it. The majority of the sons and the daughters of Adam, the majority of them fall into al-riyah. And the riyah will render your deeds null and void. Let us take Abdul Rahman as an example. Abdul Rahman does a lot in terms of the electrical things, the electronics of the masjid. You can count on him, mashallah, he's always on time, and his services are invaluable. But if he starts doing those things so that people can continue to say that, and so that can be said, he does the riyah, and he wasted all of his time because he won't get any reward yawm al-qiyam. Similarly, you brothers have to look at yourselves and your situation. So and so reads the Quran night. If you don't deal with that within yourself, the fitna for you. You won't get rewarded. So and so does this, so and so does that. We have to struggle and we have to strive to get our riyah under control. Those ulama in the past, they used to be in a constant struggle, and some of the major scholars used to feel that the thing that would destroy them was a riyah, as Al-Imam Sufi al-Thawri used to say, Rahimahullah Ta'ala. He used to say, I don't fear anything on myself like I fear a riyah. Studying and teaching, and the people start looking at me. Tusharu ilayhi bil banan. The fingertips, the pointed fingers start looking at him, pointing at him. Look at him, mashaAllah. Look at him, mashaAllah. How is it, akhi, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to his companions, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكَ الْأَصْغَرِ, the thing that frightens me the most about you companions is the shirk al-asghar. He was asked, what is it? He said, الرياء. He said that to who? خير الناس قرن ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. That's who he said that to. He said that to who? رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Wallahi, now what about you, Akhi Abdul Karim? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is afraid and was afraid on his companions from al-riyah, al-shirk al-asghar, and I'm not afraid for myself? Graduated from Medina? I'm an idiot if I'm not afraid for myself. Al-shaytan has istahwadha alayya. He has overtaken me and overwhelmed me. Wallahi, we are people who make riyah. And part of solving the problem, like any bad habit, is recognizing. Recognizing the problem. Recognizing, yes, I have an addiction. Yes, I am doing that which is wrong. If you're in denial, you'll never change the problem. Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wassalam, in Surah Ibrahim, ayat 35. He made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which he said, وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدُ الْأَسْنَامِ, save me and my children from worshipping idols. Worshipping idols is the shirk al-akbar. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, May dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save him and his children from worshiping idols, the shirk al akbar. Don't you think it's befitting for us to make dua that we get saved from the shirk al asghar? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in an authentic hadith on the authority of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-awwal as-Siddiq Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa radiyallahu anhuma, and showing us the danger of the riya. Now just imagine, ikhwan, we have enemies in our community all around us. Many of those enemies are clear in establishing their enmity and their hatred. The Kufar, the Yahud. On my way back from Pittsburgh, alaykum salam salam. Ahi, pray to Rakat to greet the messenger, inshallah. Ayakum Allah. When I came back from my trip from Pittsburgh, I was on the plane and I was about to exit the plane to get off here in Orlando. And you know how the people rush to get to the door. I had a seat after first class. I was going to be one of the first off the door. When I stood up in the aisle to get my bag from the overhead compartment, I looked behind me and there was a woman who had a necklace with the star of the Yahud. And I la adri where they get the star David from, Allahu alam, the star of the Yahud. As soon as I recognized that, I looked in the face because she was watching me already in my soul. She already hated me from the soul. As soon as I recognized that, I looked at her and I looked her in the face, and you could see the disdain and the hatred that she had. So I had to give it back to her. Because part of our religion is showing the kuffar, look, I don't care about you, kafir, kafira. I give you dawah, I give you your haq, but I hate your kufr and your shirk. You better know that. So some people, their enmity and hatred and disdain is clear. The Sufiya, the people who are on these jama'at and munharif and mubtadi'a, they hate us. You go to Pittsburgh, wallahi, people I never met them before, but they knew that the brothers there in Pittsburgh were trying to establish the dawah. They were apologists, modernists. They came out just because they want those brothers, Allah knows best what their niyat was, but they came out for political reasons, so that you brothers in Pittsburgh and the dawah will return the favor when we give a program. So when they came and I went to greet them and to meet them, you see in their eyes, in their handshake, in their body language, al-karahiyya, wal-baghda, wal-adawa. You see it. Akhi, I ask you, brothers, by Allah, that imam in Miami, Florida, you didn't see the hatred in that man's eyes? I mean, you can see it. You can feel it. It's clear. Baynama, on the other hand, when you go to the masajid of Ahl-Sunnah, all right, the people who treat you like you be a long lost brother from the same mother, from the same womb. Ya akhi, mashallah. What's going on down here? What you been doing? What's happening with the dawah? So it is a ni'mah to know who your enemy is. But now the problem is when you don't know your enemy, when it's khafi, when it's hidden. He laying in the cut like a guy who came here the other day. But we know who he is, alhamdulillah. Two faces. He comes to ha'ula'i with a face, he goes to ha'ula'i with another face. From the hated people to Allah is the raw al-wajhain. Two faces. He comes to you, smiling, scaring and grinning, acting like everything is cookie crunch. He goes over there, talk about you. Yeah, actually, we know what time it is. We got your ticket. You think we that slow? The Prophet described this enemy to us as shirk al-khafi. And he said about it, as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq told us, radiyallahu anhu, al-shirk fikum akhfa min dabib al-namal. He said that the shirk in this ummah is more hidden, it's lighter, more hidden than the ant that's walking on the ground. The ant was the smallest thing known to the Arabs. And that's why the dharra can mean the ant, or it can mean just the smallest particle, period. It can mean the ant or the smallest particle. So the Prophet described for us that the shirk al-khafi is smaller than the ant. Now, with this being a problem, that showing off is a problem for all of the human beings. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The shirk is a problem for all of the human beings. I'm going to give you, brothers, some prophetic advice how to protect yourself from the shirk. And I told you that one of the greatest weapons that the believer has is the weapon of a dua. Just don't make the grave error and mistake. Just don't make the grave mistake of making the shirk al-akbar in the dua, as we mentioned. One of the greatest weapons that we have been given is a dua. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told his companions, سأدلكم على شيء إذا فعلته أذهب عنك صغار الشرك وكباره. فقل اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك وأنا أعلم وأستغفرك بما لا أعلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Abu Zahira, he told us that the shirk in you people is lighter, smaller, less apparent than the air. And I'm going to lead you to that thing that if you were to do it, it would take away from you the small shirk and the major shirk. Sagara shirk wa kibarahu. They take away both of them. And that is that you should say, and this is a dua we should learn. You should say this, and it will take away from you the shirk al-riya, insha'Allah, with some effort. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Again, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam wa أستغفرك لما لا أعلم. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from making shirk with you, and I know that I'm doing it. And I seek your forgiveness from doing it when I don't know that I'm making shirk. You make that dua, inshaAllah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it'll be one of the things that will help you to break the back of al-riya and the shirk in all of its manifestations. That's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching us, ikhwan, how to deal with this issue. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika fima wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. So that was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam teaching us about the evil of ar-riya and how difficult it can be to detect. And then we look at the companion who narrated that hadith for us, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And to love Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is a manifestation of a person's faith in iman. So you know how the people are already, if you're in a position of leadership where you're the leader of all of the people, the khalifa or the judge or the scholar, the people are going to love you. What if you add on to all of that you are the best friend of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the people used to hear about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu from the Muslim empire, when they used to go to Medina and they used to seek an audience with him radiallahu anhu, when they used to get the opportunity to meet him, he would sit with them. So one time some people came and they started to praise him in his face. They started to tell him how pious he was and how good he was and so forth and so on. So he made a dua showing us how he was taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how humble he was and how afraid he was of the riyat. And the dua of Abu Bakr is another dua that we should learn. And there are different variations of this dua that the ulama have collected for us. He said, radiallahu anhu, after being praised and talked about, Allahumma la tu'akhidhni bima yakulun, واجعلني خيرا مما يظنون واحسبني مما لا يعلمون. Oh Allah, do not hold me responsible for what these people are saying. MashaAllah, you're this. MashaAllah, you're doing that. MashaAllah, the da'wah is in need of you. MashaAllah, you're putting the da'wah forth. Oh Allah, do not make me responsible for what these people are saying. I had nothing to do with them. I didn't tell them to come say this. This is from their own fiqh and understanding. This is from their emotions and how they feel. Don't make me responsible. Don't hold me accountable for what they say. And make me better than what they actually think. And protect me from what they don't really know about me. Those deficiencies and those shortcomings that I have. That's a tremendous dua. Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yaqulun waj'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun wahfidni mimma la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, do not hold me responsible or accountable for what they're saying, and make me better than what they think. Ikhwan, how many of us have opinions about each other? We all have opinions about each other, but we may not necessarily know what is the reality of this person's situation. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us better than what the people think about us. We have to be the man who is in the middle court. We can't be so cynical that every single Muslim that we meet, we say, he's worse than what I really think he is. Can't be that cynical. And we also can't be on the other extreme, and that is, mashallah, he is as exactly as I said and I think he is, or even more than that. No, you have to be in the middle court, and that is to have the husn al-dhan of everyone until you begin to work with him, travel with him, sleep with him, do business with him, eat with him, see him on a daily basis. Don't be so quick to judge for or against. You have to have the husn al-dhan, and you can't have the sort of dhan. Can't be so cynical on one end, and on the other hand you have ghulu and itra, you're going overboard. And then at the end of the day, after all of that, we still know كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّاءُونَ وَخَيْرُ خَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. All of the sons of Adam, they make mistakes. And the best of those who make mistakes are the ones who make tawbah. So when our brothers make mistakes, as we are bound to do, we overlook them still. This way, ikhwan, inshallah, when we meet people, when we marry people, when we come in contact with people, if this is our minhaj with meeting people, we're not going to be devastated when we become disappointed by some people. You're not going to be devastated. Sometimes you have a good opinion about a particular talib or ilm or something like that. When you meet them, you see that which doesn't please you. Then you're devastated. You're about to hang up your phone, hang up your kufi, and cut the lihya. Because you're devastated. Khalaf, that's it. No, you have to have the balance, inshallah. Umar radiallahu anhu al-Faruq, who was from the muhaddathin, Akhi Abu Zahira. What's the difference between the muhaddath and the muhaddith?
Muhaddath is the one who
He is like he's inspired. He has inspiration. Whenever he takes an opinion, it is in what? It is in accordance to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated. Umar, if there was some muhaddithun from our ummah, it would be Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. How many times is there his opinion yuwafiq and coincide with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted? And what is a muhaddith? Naam, the person who is a scholar, who is knowledgeable, who is working with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He also used to make the dua and being afraid of the shirk and riba and al-riyah, nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to say, Allahumma aj'al amali kullahu salihan waj'alhu liwajhika khalisa wa la taj'al li ahadin fihi shay'a. And Imam Ahmed brought this narration in his book Az-Zuhd, and it is transmitted to us by the tabi'i Al-Hasan Al-Basri. Al-Hasan Al-Basri, who was from the students of Abu Huraira. And Imam Ahmed rahimahullah wrote his chain of narration on his sheikh, who told his sheikh, all the way up into Hasan al-Basri, who said that Umar said in making this dua, oh Allah, make my actions, all of them, righteous, salih, and make my actions, all of them, khalisan for you, exclusively and solely for you, because you are the one who is self-sufficient. And when you create, you put efficiency in your creation. But you are أغنى الشركاء للشرك. You are so self-sufficient that you don't need any partner. So make my actions, all of them, صالح, correct, according to the Quran and the Sunnah. And make them for your sake. And do not let anyone share in them. Protect me from doing actions with other people being a part of this. Ikhwan, this hadith, or this athar, we can't say that it's authentic because Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he never met Umar al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab wasn't from the companions that Al-Hasan al-Basri met. But you know, like Sufyan al-Thawri said and many of the other ulama, they used to say, if we narrated on the other people, we were more easier. It's not like narrating on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where if you narrate something that isn't authentic, you only can narrate it with conditions. And one of those conditions is that you inform the people, this is not authentic. So here I'm going to tell you that this is not authentically established upon or from Umar. It's in the book of Al-Imam Ahmed. One of the books, the many books that he wrote is Kitab al-Zuhd. Kitab al-Zuhd. He wrote a book called Kitab al-Zuhd. Waqi' ibn Jarrah wrote a book called Kitab al-Zuhd. Many of the ulama that used to write these books are the Kutub al-Zuhd. So with that being the case, Ikhwan, I wanted to bring these topics to you so that we can begin to struggle with that in ourselves, to be people who are far, far away from showing off, doing things so that the fingers can be pointed at us, and so that things can be said about us, and so that we can be praised. So if we listen to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the example of the Amir al-Mu'mineen and what was reported from Umar, that's a dua still that we should inculcate in our repertoire of the ad'iyah, the dua and the supplication. And on top of that, I encourage all of you to try your best to be with the righteous people, those people who you see as being people who are far away from riya. Because the companionship of the salihin is going to rub off on you. The hadith of the three people who were in the cave, and one of them said that I did good to my mother with the bowl and so forth and so on, and I did it for your sake and your sake alone. And the other one said there was the woman and I was going to have a relationship with her and I didn't do it only for your sake. I got up. Then the other one said that I owed the man the money and I gave it to him for your sake. What was the third one? That was it, right? And I only did that for your sake. And the ikhlas got them out of the cave. I did this only for your sake. Your sake alone. That was their dua. Oh Allah, if I did this for your sake, I did this only for your sake and your sake alone, so open up the thing. And Allah opened up the cave and let them out of their mushkila, their problem, their fitna, from al-ikhlas. من قال لا إله إلا الله خالص من قلبه دخل الجنة. Whoever says La ilaha illallah with sincere conviction in the inner recesses of his soul, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, he will enter into paradise. But it's not just talking about al-qawl here. A person who really believes in La ilaha illallah, he stays away from what Allah made haram. How are you going to say you believe in La ilaha illallah, the might of Allah, the power of Allah, the ability of Allah, and you are being found where he told you don't be in that place with a woman who's haram for you? How can you allow yourself to be in that position? How can you say that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La ilaha illallah, no God deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and you allow yourself not to be found where he told you be at this place, the masjid? How? The fitna. So this is from the fada'il and the virtues of La ilaha illallah. I want to give you some examples of al-riya so that we can warn you about it, so that you can know it. These are some examples of what it is to show up. You can have al-riya in different ways, in different shapes, in different fashions. One of the things that al-riya is connected to is the body. How do you have riya as it relates to the body, or your body, or a person's body? Some people, they make themselves become pale, discolored, so that others can see the intensity of his struggle and his effort. Something that the Sufis do. They seek to make themselves pale in their color, so that when you see them, it's as if he was, you know, they say, he saw white, it looked like he saw a goat. He was afraid. That is taqwa and is khashya to that level. Some people will make the salah, and when they pray, they rub their foreheads and they burn it in order to put the prayer mark on their forehead so that people could see the prayer prostration. MashaAllah, he's been the peace from the people of salah. No one says to you, Ya Abdullah, to pray in order to get a prayer mark on your head. And why are you doing that? So that the people can see it. Have you ever seen some of the people, they have a big black mark on their forehead? Wallahi, subhanAllah. Some people get it because they just pray and they have sensitive skin. You see on people's feet, they just get the thing, your skin, they just do that. Some people have sensitive skin, or they come into Islam and they pray on a carpet that's khashan. People who come into Al-Islam and they pray in our masjid, they got to get a prayer mark on their head. Allahu A'lam. There are other masajids where you pray, the cushion and the carpet is so thick and deep, you'll never get a prayer mark even if you try. That's one of the manifestations of al-riyah. Another one is, the people who pray, and when they get up, they twist their arms while they're getting up on their fists, making the ajim, as the Prophet used to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They twist their knuckles so that they rub also against the carpet, and their knuckles become discolored like the forehead, to show you, mashallah, how serious he is in his ibadah. Our Sheikh and our beloved teacher, Abu al-Harith Ali Hassan al-Halabi, he has on his knuckles, his skin is off. Salim al-Ilali, his skin is off. Musa al-Nasr, his skin is off. Because I consider them people to be from the people of Salah. But the Khawarij used to also have that. They're just like a person who his foot or his forehead can get like that without him trying. Your fingers, your knuckles can get like that as well. Walking meekly, sitting meekly, shaking hands weakly, as a weakling, you put one finger out, your fingertips, you grab them like a one and shake hands. This is all a riyah in the body, a riyah in the clothes, the malabis, and the malabis allati yalbisuha an-nas, the clothes that the people wear. They wear torn clothes, look like bums, heavy clothes. It's in the summertime. Wallahi akhi, when I read the masjid for Dhuhr Salah, it's 99 degrees, 100 degrees. I leave and I say, subhanAllah, we came down here, it was so nice. You go outside, it's hot. He's wearing a robe made out of wool. Now if that's all you have, fabihi wa ni'ma, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. May Allah open up the doors of His mercy and His rahmah. But it's not from the ibadah of Al-Islam to make it difficult for yourself. The man was fasting in the heat during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was falling out. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam asked the people, what's wrong with him? They said, he's fasting, ya Rasulullah, in the heat, knocking himself out. He said, laysa min al-bir an yasum, they suffer. It's not for righteousness to fast while you're traveling, if that's going to be the end result. And there's another narration in which he said it in the dialect of the Yemenese people. Laysum min al-barram as-summum fi-safram. It's a funny way that you say it. The Sheikh Umar Salata used to say it all the time. You know how to say it? Naam, that's naam, and to safara, some suffer. Naam. So that's from the riyah as well, ikhwan, in the clothes. The ulama, they have certain clothes that are peculiar to them in a particular place, like the bish that they wear. He's wearing that type of thing around. You know that we wear for the Jummah sometimes? If you're wearing it, akhi, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear it, and you wear it for the Eid, you wear it for the Jummah or something like that, then there's no problem if your niyyah is correct. But he's wearing it And he's walking around so the people can say, he's from the Ahl al-Ilm. He's just like the ulama. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to keep his button open like this, and he used to walk like this. And there were companions who, once they saw that, them and their sons used to keep their shirts unbuttoned. A person does that just so it can be said he's from Ahl al-Sunnah. MashaAllah, he's on the Sunnah. No, if you do it to practice the Sunnah, do it, akhi, out of barakatullah. Go ahead, forth, and don't worry about what the people say. But if you're doing it to stand out in front of the people, now this is a riyah. We have to check our niyah, check our intention. The riyah in the action, in the af'an, in the action. So that was the riyah in the body, riyah in the clothes, riyah in the action, in the af'an. Standing up for salah and he's crying, forcing himself to cry for the people. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he told his companions radiallahu anhum, لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا, if you people know what I know, you will cry, you will laugh a lot less and cry a lot more. Upon hearing that, they just started crying. And he told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you read the Quran, cry and make yourself cry. Tabaku. Even if you're not crying, make yourself cry. But make yourself cry for yourself and for Allah. Not so that the people can say, MashaAllah. From the riyah and the action is a person who stands, he prays, he's fasting, so that the people can know. Alright, you're fasting, akhi. And why is the ajr of the siyam so great, the reward of fasting so great? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that fasting is for me. Wa ana uzzi. Fasting is for me. As-siyam li. Wa ana uzzi. Fasting is for me. And I'll reward it. My servant gave up his drink, his food, and his shahwa for me. And I'm going to reward it. أَمْرُ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ, it's between you and Allah. Keep it like that. But he always brings about the circumstances to let you know, أخي, I'm fasting, أخي. Why are you brothers way over there in the corner talking so loud? Don't you know that I'm fasting? Not like that, أخي. Especially when we're fasting or on trip, making Hajj. How many times did you make Hajj? We're in the race. I made Hajj 6 times, 7 times. I made it 8 times. I make it every year. I'm going to make that Hajj every year. Ma hakada ya akhwan. We see a terrible form of riyah. And all of what we mention is terrible. But it's sad. Those brothers who we know, that Allah knows best, who try to get so close and tight with the people of knowledge, the ulama, so that it can be said, he's from Sheikh so-and-so camp. He knows Sheikh so-and-so. He wants to say, I know Sheikh so-and-so. He goes to visit Sheikh so-and-so all the time. Now, there's a lot of virtues, ikhwan. Remember we told you before, going into the houses and to the residences of people of knowledge, it reflects upon you positively. You could tell about a man's fiqh and understanding by who he keeps his company. He keeps the ulama's company. What would it look like? Those brothers who want to be around Sheikh so-and-so and Sheikh so-and-so, just so the people can say, he's with Sheikh so-and-so. There's nothing wrong with taking honor, for an example, with saying that you are one of the students of Sheikh Abu Muhammad Rabi' al-Madkhali. This is from Islam. To take honor, and that Allah has blessed you with the presence of Sheikh Fulan and Sheikh Fulan, may Allah bless and protect all of the ulama of Islam. But when you do it so that it can be said, you were with him, you're from his student, you're in his camp, nah. La nuwafiqukum ala hada. خلصوا نياتكم لله. خلصوا نواياكم لله سبحانه وتعالى. Make your niyyah for Allah. Now, a proof that people have diseases in their hearts is, that whenever they hear nasiha, they hear advice, instead of accepting the advice that is better for you, they do what? They try to say, oh, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. If you think it's about you and you fit the description, rectify your situation. And if you don't think it fits the description like you brothers here, then beware of the hole, the mushkila. It's as simple as that. So those are some of the manifestations of shirk, and there are many, ikhwan, there are many. Now we want to end and conclude, inshallah, and give you some examples of things that people do that one may consider it to be riyah, but it's not riyah. Things that people do, people may say and think this is showing off, but it is in fact not showing off. Like doing a good deed, and the people praise you as a result of that good deed, and you may have the intention of doing it so that they can see you, but your intention was to encourage them to do it also. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed in front of the companions, and he said to them, what? Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you see me praying. Now you know that the Prophet, what he did sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything was in front of the people almost, and it was for the intent of teaching them to do like me. Someone would say, that's only for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can't use that as a proof. You all know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها ولا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا ومن سن في الإسلام سنة سيئة كان له وزرها وأوزار من عمل بها من دون أن ينقص من وزرهم شيء. Whoever makes a sunnah that is good in our Islam, he will get the reward of that sunnah and the reward of everyone else who works as a result of what they did. And whoever does a bad sunnah, he creates a bad sunnah in our Islam, he will get the evil reward of what he did and the evil reward of everyone else who did that thing by him, because of him. Why was this hadith mentioned? Because of the tribe of Mudr that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their clothes were torn up, and they looked poor, and they looked like they were in need. They had a hajah, and they had the khafafa. They were in need of assistance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the people to give sadaqah. One man got up and he came out with a little bit of something. He came out with a little bit of something. He put it in front of the people. Because of that little bit of something, everybody else started bringing out some more things until it became a big thing. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sunnah fil Islam sunnatan hasana." Whoever makes a sunnah in al-Islam that is a good sunnah, he'll get the reward of that. So that man who brought that little thing out, when the people saw him, they say, "I can do better than that. Hey, let me, if that's all he has, I have more than that or similar to it." So he did something in front of the people. There is an authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam Muslim that the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Have you seen the man who does an act of goodness and the people praise him?" They say, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah." "He does an act of goodness and the people praise him." They say, "Yes." He said, "That is the good tidings which the believer receives in this life." So he does something good, the people say, "MashaAllah, wallahi, Abudi, man, Abudi came through for the masjid." That statement is from the good tidings that the believer gets in this life when they praise him. He has to keep his niyyah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing that many people may consider to be riyah, but it's not riyah. It's like the man who it is not his custom to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. But he fasts on Mondays and Thursdays because there's going to be some food in the masjid. Or because the people are fasting, he doesn't want to feel like the oddball out. He's not fasting when we break our fast. So he fasts because of the people, it seems. Or it's not from his custom to get up and to pray in the nighttime. But when he sleeps and he visits someone who prays in the nighttime, and that person who prays in the nighttime, he gets up for tahajjud every day, that other person gets up. Not because he wants to, but because how is he going to remain in the bed? So he gets up. Someone may say, this is riyah. You're fasting for the people. You're praying for the people. You know you don't normally do that. This also is not considered to be riya, ikhwan. This is not riya. Every single Muslim who says la ilaha illallah, he has the propensity and the desire to worship Allah Ta'ala. He wants to do it. He's eager to do it. But there are many things that hinder him. Being tired, his family, his work. There are things that hold him back. If he could, he would come every day to the masjid. But there are things that get in the way, get in the mix. But he accepted Islam to do right, not to do wrong. So when he finds himself amongst the people, being with the group gives him eagerness and makes him lively and gives him activity. So he does as they do. And when he's away from the people, shaitan is over him. Shaitan is on him. And it becomes more difficult. And this scenario, I think is best described by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam when he ordered us to be with the jama'ah. When he ordered us to be with the jama'ah, with the group. From the benefit of being with the group, those people who are lazy, those people who have all of these hindrances, the jama'ah helps you to do right. As the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alaykum bil jama'ah, wa iyaakum wal furqa, fa inna shaytan ma'al wahid, wa huwa min al ithnain abad. I order you, I encourage you to be with the group. And I warn you of being divided. So being the shaytan is with one person, and he is further away from two, and more further away from three, and even more away from four, and even more away from on and on and on. الراكب شيطان والراكبان شيطانان والثلاثة ركب. One traveler is a shaytan, two of them two shaytan, three, that's the traveling group. He told us in yet another authentic hadith showing us the importance of making the salah in the jama'ah. صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من ثلاثة في قرية ولا بدوة لا تقام فيها الصلاة إلا استحوذ عليهم الشيطان فعليكم بالجماعة فإنما يأكل الذئب الغنم القافية. There are not three men, three people who are living in a city or in the Bedouin, in the Badia, the desert, the country, far away. Three people who live in the city, or they live in the desert. If they don't establish the salat together, the shaitan will overwhelm them, will overpower them. So therefore, I advise you to be with the jama'ah. For verily the wolf devours the lone sheep. The man is by himself trying to practice all Islam. He's not going to pray. He's not going to fast. He's not going to leave alone the haram. He's going to come to the haram and leave the halal. But when he's with the jama'ah, the jama'ah say, Ya Akhi, what are you doing? The jama'ah is going to help him, stop him. But when he's far away from the jama'ah, wallahi, he destroyed himself. And you may even have three people together away from the jama'ah, they'll be destroyed. Come to the jama'ah of the Muslim, to the body of the Muslim. So the jama'ah can be there, and you are three people away. Don't think you three together being happy with what is with you is the jama'ah. No, the jama'ah is the jama'ah of the Muslim. Not your jama'ah, not my jama'ah, not the jama'ah that you belong to. So the thing that encourages that person to pray and to fast is the jama'ah. When he's with the people, he does as the people do. When he's away from the people, as shaytan overwhelms him. نسأل الله العافية والسلامة إخوان الله. الشيطان المشكلة. Shaytan is a mushkila. Also from what many people consider to be riya and it's not riya, is a person who requests a position because he's the master of the job. You know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, when the man came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, make me the amir over the people. He said, we will not give this to people who ask for it. We're not going to make you the emir and you seeking it. The fitna. You shouldn't understand from that that if a person has skills, he is an expert in computers. He comes to the masjid and says, let me set up your web page. I heard that you were looking for someone. Let me do it. We're going to say, no, actually, we can't give this job to one who asked for it. We're looking for a teacher, someone to teach in the school, and we put out, what do you call those things when you're looking for someone to work? We put out an ad. Anyone's going to come and put their credentials on the table to say, pick me, I'm the best man for the job. Then we're going to say, no, we're only going to pick people haphazardly. So if a person is the man for the job, and he comes and he says, look, I'm the man for the job. I can take care of this, or I can take care of that. It shouldn't be considered to be riyah. The other person who wants that same job and responsibility shouldn't say, look, that's riyah, because you wouldn't tell them. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, when he went to the king and he told the king about his dream, when the king took him out of the prison and Yusuf began to interpret the seven fat cows devouring the seven lean cows, the king said, I want to put you right next to me, my right hand man. You want to be the man, you want to be with me. Yusuf said no. He said what? اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم إني حفيظ عليم. He said no. Instead, put me over the reserves of the earth. Make me responsible for all of the places where you're keeping and storing the food. Put me in charge of the storage. Why? Because I am حفيظ. I know how to protect it, and I am عليم. I got knowledge about this issue. We don't say that he's praising himself. You're the master of the job, you have the experience. Go ahead and put your credentials down. Also, ikhwan, wearing nice clothes is not from the riyah. To have a very white duster robe is not from the riyah. You go and you travel other places and you come back with nice clothes, nice shoes, nice gear. This is not riyah. Inna Allah jameel. وَيُحِبُّ الْجَمَاعِ. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty, as the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَرَى أَثَرَ نِعْمَتِهِ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ. Allah loves to see the effect of His ni'mah on His servant, man and woman. Not riyah. She comes out with all of her gold and splendor in front of the sisters. Why does your husband buy it for you? So you can spoil and plan and show people. This don't think you better than the other people. This don't make people feel like because I have this goal, I'm better than you. That's not showing off. But it's always better to close all of the doors that's going to create fitna between the believers. Allah loves to see the ni'mah of His servant that He put upon him. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. قُلْ إِذَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Say, who makes haram the beautiful things that Allah has brought forth and the good things that He brought forth for His believing people? They're for the people, all of them in the dunya, only for the believers يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. يَا بَنِي آدَمْ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. Oh, بَنِي آدَمْ, wear your nice apparel to the masjid. Each time you go, cover up your aura and cover up with that which is nice. Just don't wear the fold of a shuhra. A shuhra. You wear a fold that you become known by it. What does it look like? Akhi. You have a fold, the color of it is orange, pink, turquoise. What is it?
Turquoise.
And then the people that are learning you, they know you by that fold you always wear. You know the brother with the turquoise fold. That's up to his knees. Nah, not like that. The robe of the shura is not permissible. And finally, ikhwan, to gain the recognition of the people without soliciting it, this is not a riyah. Why do we always say abudi, abudi, abudi? Because I believe inshallah abudi has the ability to become encouraged even more when he hears it. You brothers hear it and you become encouraged, and inshallah I hope and I feel that it's not going to be a fitna that's going to break his back, but it's going to be an encouragement, as the Prophet used to encourage his companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by recognizing the good that they used to do, to keep them motivated to do even more. That's why we always use abudi, and that's why we have been mentioning that. But inshallah, we're going to spread the khair around after this. Bismillah. So that's what we wanted to present today concerning the issue of al-shirk. We're going to go into the next article in the coming class, bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you brothers have any questions, inshallah, concerning today's dars, tafaddal. Now, tafaddal akhi, Abu Tahira.
What do you say about a person who is a good deed, something from the Sunnah, and he fights within himself to react, and he just says, forget about it, I'm not going to do it, because I don't know whether my intention is correct or not correct, so I'm just not going to do it at all.
Now, a shaitan, he comes and he tries to get you from different angles and from different levels. And this is one of the levels and one of the angles that he gets, the human being. See, a person leaves the deed out of fear of riyah? No. That is riyah itself. To leave the deed out of fear of riyah is riyah itself. So what the person does is he struggles with it after recognizing it within himself, and he prays longer. And he makes him those dua statements within himself. It establishes that he wants the ibadah khalis in Allah. And he's cursing the shaitan. Oh Allah, save me from riyah. Oh Allah, curse the shaitan. Oh Allah, and he makes those kind of dua. But he shouldn't leave it. Because shaitan's ultimate plan and goal was to get you to leave it anyway. And you're following the shaitan when you do that. So don't follow the shaitan. Go ahead and do it and insist on doing it even more and harder and have more conviction to do it, inshallah. Now,
what you just said about cursing the shaitan, isn't there a hadith that says not to say about cursing the shaitan because you, when you curse him, you grow wise, but to say, I don't do that.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, you have to bring that hadith. That is kind of in my mind, but it's not clear. But that's a good point. So you're responsible for bringing it, inshallah. If a person corrects someone, and then on top of that we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursing him, and we have too many of the ulama who used to curse the shaitan, and the sahabas as well. Even in our aqid of Sufyan al-Thawri, he used to say that the Qadariya, they didn't say what Allah said, nor did they say what the Prophet said, nor did they say what the Malaika said, nor did they say what the righteous people say, nor did they say what the people of the hellfire say, nor did they say what their brother Iblis, la'natullah alayhi, said. But something is in my mind that suggests that has some authenticity to it, that something is to what you're saying. So bring it, for verily all of the knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person corrects someone for an act or deed that he himself is guilty of, can it be said that he is also guilty of showing off? I'm not going to call that showing off, even though it can fall into the realm of showing off, but it's more like hypocrisy and nifaq, and that is to say what you don't do. يَا أَيَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Oh, you believe? Why do you say that which you don't do? Hideously odious it. Is it in the sight of Allah that you say what you don't do? He rebuked Bani Israel for that thing. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ عَنْفُسَكُمْ وَتَنْسَوْنَ عَنْفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you people honor the people with righteousness, and you forget it your own selves, and you're reading the book? Don't you reflect? Don't you have any understanding? Don't you have any sense? So if a person is doing an evil, and he's telling other people not to do the evil, this is the sign of hypocrisy, and it's a crime and a sin. But if it's riyah, it doesn't seem to be riyah in Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now,
I might be out of the model, but there's a Christian thing off in my head, and it's what comes to the time when I was in the Durus, and the Durus is talking about Babu and Lau. Just having doubt that this day we go on the street, and then something happened that we run in an accident, and then we go Well, bagging gold, maybe bagging gold keeps them not happy. Is that part of
Riya, showing off? No, this is not showing off. If a person wants to do something and he starts doubting and he starts to say, low this, if only this, if only that. This is not Riya, but it's against what we've been taught. As the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير وفي كل خير. And then he went on to say, فاستعن على ما ينفعك ولا تعجز ولا تقول لو فإن اللو يفتح عمل الشيطان. The strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. Strong in his body, his mind, his aqeed, his ibadah, he's better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. And in both of them is good. So do everything that tahris ala ma yanfa'uka. Try to do your best to do everything that's going to benefit you, and don't be ajiz. Don't be unable. Don't look at yourself as being weak. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. I have an idea of making a pizza store. Oh, I can't do it. No, go ahead and do it. And do everything that you can do to make it work.